Christ has risen. Alleluia. Christ has risen indeed. Happy Easter and welcome here to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time worshiping with us or you have been here your whole life, we are so glad to share in this Easter celebration with you this morning. One of the ways you can learn more about how we here at GPC are church together, take a look through that bulletin. There are all sorts of announcements and calendars. You can also visit our website or contact the office or myself or our associate pastor, Katie, with any of your questions. We are indeed celebrating the resurrection this morning. We will be celebrating the sacrament of communion. Please know that all are welcome to the table. The communion liturgy or the words that we will say together are found in the back of that green book. So you'll see it there in your pews, and all you'll need to do is follow along, but all are welcome to celebrate with us. So friends, let us worship our risen Lord. As you are comfortable and able for the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Beloved church, behold the victory of our God. Jesus, our Lord, has conquered the grave. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Sin and death shall reign no more. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Let this place resound with joy. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thank you. Please join me for a prayer of oneness with God. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the empty tomb. Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to the empty tomb, Lord Jesus, when we come to the empty tomb, Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to the empty tomb, hear our silent prayers as the Holy Spirit leads us. Friends, believe the good news.
Jesus Christ.
Now will the children please come forward and join me at the front? Everybody looks so great today. What are you all dressed up for?
Easter, that's it.
Esther for Easter, yeah. Yeah, this is the day that we celebrate Easter. Well, why are we celebrating today? Because you lost your tooth. That's why we're all dressed up. No! That is not why we wore sparkly dresses today. But that's also awesome. Okay, why? Yeah, Jesus rose from the tomb just a few days before the first Easter. Jesus had died, and all of his friends and everyone who loved him was so sad. They were full of sadness, and it hurt them very badly. So they went to the tomb to see Jesus, to see their friend who was dead. And then they went, and they looked in the tomb, and it was empty. Jesus could come back to life and come to tell them all how much he loved them and show them how much God loves all of us. And then they were full of happiness. So this is a good day for us all to celebrate how much Jesus loves us, that he came back from the dead, just to show us how important we are to God and how much God cares about us. And to celebrate that we're full of happiness too, I've got some candy for everyone. But first, let's go ahead and pray together. Dear God, oh, I think we could pray louder than that. We're celebrating, right? Full of happiness. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Alleluia. Amen. All right. With the full one, right? All right, come get some candy. Thank you.
We gather this morning to sing songs of Easter and to hear this story as it is told in the Gospel of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, and he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there with the body where the body had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The good news of the gospel this morning. Early on the first day, while it was still dark, John begins his Easter story. Dark. Really, we couldn't have written it any better for an Easter morning here in Rochester, New York. Okay, well, we could have added a bit of snow on top of the stone of the rock there outside the tomb. I know, it's not what we were hoping for this morning as we crawled out of bed, secretly believing the forecast was wrong, and we could swap out all those heavy sweaters and tights and winter boots for sandals and short sleeves and sunglasses. And yet, if we are to enter into this Easter story, if we seek and experience anything comparable to the extraordinary encounter Mary Magdalene has with the risen Lord, we need to back up a bit. Back up a bit a few hours into the darkness, a few days, perhaps even weeks, months, even years, into the darkness, when the pain of loss was real, when the hurt could not be ignored. I know this is difficult to do any day in our death-denying, loss-ignoring popular culture. More difficult still for Christians to do on Easter Sunday, when we've already sung, "Jesus Christ is risen today," and heard the brightness of the trumpet, the majestic power of the organ, the warm vibrations of the harp strings, and seen all the children in their brightly colored outfits. In the bright joy of Easter morning, it is hard to remember that suffering, at some point and in some manner, eventually comes to each of us. As surely as night follows day, heartache comes. It is what happens when we dare to love, to allow ourselves to be loved, knowing that at some time, in some manner, it comes to us all. And it's vitally important that we remember when and where and how hope comes to all of humankind. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, John writes, "But light enough for Mary to see the stone has been removed from the tomb." Immediately, Mary seems to assume the tomb is empty, and she runs to tell two of the disciples, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have laid him." And Peter and his beloved disciple take off at a gallop, apparently with Mary behind them. One wise pastor once said that running around is what we Christians do when we have trouble finding Jesus, especially when it's dark. When life is changing and we aren't sure what's going on or how it's going to turn out, we run around a lot and we argue about this and that, and we do what Peter and the other guy do. We go home. We do nothing. Thank goodness for Mary. She's not going anywhere. Not this time. She stands still long enough to let this insult, the missing body, be added to the injury, the gruesome crucifixion of Good Friday. And Mary endures what St. John of the Cross describes as the dark night of the soul. United Methodist pastor Ann Robertson writes that Mary shows us what faithfulness in the dark looks like. When our prayers seem to hit the ceiling and fall back down on our heads, we keep on praying. When reading the Bible is just so many words on a page that don't make any sense anymore, we keep reading. When coming to church has lost its novelty and most of our friends and family don't go anymore anyway, but we keep coming. Finally, we come to the empty tomb, to the place where we saw him last, while it is still dark. And now comes the remarkable revelation that God has been at work in the darkness. We didn't see it in the newspaper. The resurrection didn't trend on Facebook all those years ago. No one saw it happen. But things are different. And the Christian faith is a lot like that. When we meet Jesus at some point, some of us meet him early in life and remember those stories of childhood Sunday school, Jesus walking on water, feeding the crowds with loaves and fish sharing dinner with a wee little man named Zacchaeus. Others of us might meet Jesus later in life. We wrestle with his teachings about what it means to care for the poor, to welcome the outcasts and follow him to the table and to the cross. But then there comes a time when all of it seems to go up in smoke. I have all these questions and no answers. Our spiritual lives run dry and life hits us hard, and Jesus seems dead, helpless. There's no point, we think. It's over. He wasn't what I thought he was going to be about. He can't save me after all. He couldn't save himself. And the darkness descends. And it's in those times we listen. We listen to the witness of Mary. Even after the crucifixion, she will claim Jesus as Lord, dead or alive. And if a tomb is where she needs to go to be with him, then that's where she goes. And this is where she is, where we meet her this morning. Standing in the dark, standing in hurt and pain and loss, and someone calls her name. Mary. And she knows that voice, his voice, her name. He's alive. The stone has been rolled away, and the darkness is an opportunity to declare our faith, just as Mary does. Darkness is the time to get up, to get out, to face our fears together as a community, and to go to the tomb. It's the time to recognize that Easter happens in the dark. It happens when that family member refuses to come over for Easter brunch. The darkness happens when disease is not responding to treatment, when a temporary layoff turns into months of unemployment. The darkness is when poverty and homelessness stare back at you in the face of someone you love. Darkness. When planes crash, when students are gunned down in Kenya in the name of God, when there seems to be no end to the violence, injustice, and discrimination and hatred in the world, the darkness, when someone you love has died, she gets up. And in the darkness, goes to the tomb. She sees that it's empty. Christ is alive. And we, as Easter people, are called to remember Mary's witness. As the risen Christ calls Mary by name, so God calls each and every one of us. Calls us by name in our baptism. Calls us back to this table of love and grace. It was early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. There shall always be light that no darkness can overcome. He is risen. Alleluia. Amen. If you don't have it committed to memory, it is printed on page 35 there at the beginning. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Alleluia and amen. And it is with great joy that indeed we celebrate the resurrection and give thanks for all the many blessings that God has shared with us. And out of this abundance, we offer back to God a portion of these blessings. Now let us worship this morning as we celebrate with the offering.
Almighty God, today our hearts are filled and overflowing with joy because of eternal life is ours in the resurrection of Jesus. Because of this joy, we want to give you praise. Because of this joy, we want to give you glory. Because of this joy, we want to give you thanks. Thus, dear God, we joyfully present these gifts to you so that others may hear and feel the good news of this joy. We ask in the name of the resurrected Jesus. Amen.
You may be seated. And now's the time to find those green hymnals and flip there to the back where you'll see the communion liturgy, including the Glory Patri that we will sing, located. Friends, the table of bread and wine has been made ready. It is the table, the company with Jesus and all who loved him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come, come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often, and you who have not been here in a long time. You who have followed Jesus, and all of us who have failed. Come, it is our risen Lord who invites us to meet him here. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God.
People will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at the table in the kingdom of God.
This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
His love is everlasting.
Holy Lord, everlasting God, God of wonder and movement, your spirit did not rest, but transformed chaos into creation. You welcomed us into your garden of peace and hope, but we flocked to sin and death. The prophets were sent to help us understand our brokenness, but we turned our backs when they shook us with your hope for us. And so you prepared Jesus to come to us, so that we might know the very nearness of your kingdom. He came so that those who could only speak in anger to one another might sing songs of peace at your table. Come to us in these moments, God of resurrection, pouring your spirit upon the bread and the cup, that we might be drenched by your grace and peace. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. With people of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
Holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who lived with us sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was friends of sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by the people he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but is risen to rule the world, and that he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring your promised kingdom, we will celebrate victory with him.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world, and telling his resurrection to all people and nations.
Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that you may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord, receive new life, and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory.
give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. So he took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and giving thanks before his friends, he poured it out for them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me."
All are welcome to this table. All ages, all faiths are welcome to celebrate Christ's resurrection here. So we will hold the bread and the cup until all have been served, and we will partake of the sacrament together. Friends, let us rejoice in the resurrection.
This is the body of Christ, broken for each and every one of us. Taste the goodness of God's grace.
Thank you.
Friends, this is the cup of the new covenant, new life poured out for us all. Let us share in God's joyful feast together.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that in these your gifts of bread and cup, we are reminded that life is all around us. We praise you for the way your love sustains us. We thank you for your reminders that nothing can defeat you, not even death. Send us into the world as witnesses to the good news of this day and every day. In the name of your risen Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Risen indeed.